Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Tweet at DriveTimeRTE.
Former Republican Vice President Mike Pence is set to enter the 2024 presidential race against his former boss next week. He will be joined by former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who will reportedly also announce a run for president next week. Well, for more on all of this, we're joined now by Amber Phillips, author of the 5-Minute Fix newsletter with The Washington Post. And Amber, you're welcome as always to the programme this evening. So we might start with Mike Pence and this news of his entry into the 2024 presidential race. Was that a surprise?
And no, it was not. He's been angling for running for this job basically since he left office. I think the bigger surprise is how little he's got the attention of the Republican primary right now. Polls, it's still early, of course, but polls show him at about 6% polling right along lesser known names like former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley. I think it's also fair to say Mike Pence was very surprised that Donald Trump got into the race to run for a third straight time for president.
And could you put those polls in context for us in terms of where the front runners are at and who the front runners are?
Yeah, right now it is a race between two men, Donald Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is pitching himself as Trump, but electable, especially in a big state like Florida. So far, I stress it's early, a lot could happen, but polls show that Donald Trump is leading by double digits. He's polling in the 40% in a pretty big field of, we're getting up to close to 10 people now in this Republican primary. Ron DeSantis, this Florida governor, is polling in, you know, 20-25% on average. And then everyone else is just scraping the bottom 1%. Maybe if you're Mike Pence or this woman, Nikki Haley, you get to 6%.
Pence has increasingly distanced himself from Donald Trump since he was defeated in the election. Will that help him? It looks like it probably won't, given how Donald Trump is polling.
Right. I think it's a very tough lane for anyone not named Donald Trump to be in, and particularly for Mike Pence, who's sort of straddling this position of, I was really loyal to Donald Trump for 4 years. I helped him enact this agenda that conservatives really like. But at the very last minute, he refused to play a role in overturning Donald Trump's election results and has been, from Donald Trump's point of view, excommunicated. So Mike Pence is trying to come back into the party and say, I'm Trumpian. However, I'm not going to say the election was stolen. And he's also much more socially conservative. He wants a national abortion ban, for example, where many of the other candidates aren't willing to go that far because they know it's politically unpopular broadly. So it's a really tough lane for Mike Pence to be in. But like I said, it's also a tough field for anyone not named Donald Trump to be in right now, such as the state of the Republican Party.
We also have former New Jersey governor then Chris Christie, who's reportedly going to announce a run for president next week, which that would be his second time to run for the Republican nomination. Can you remind us, how did he do last time out?
Sure. He dropped out very early on after coming sixth, placed in sixth in one of the early states in New Hampshire, which is a region not far from where he was governor and that he should have done better. And so if this is a tough race for Mike Pence, I think it's even tougher for Chris Christie, although he's got a clearer message, if you will. He's coming across as this person who is going to try to prosecute the case against Trump, try to tell the Republican Party, you guys have been essentially brainwashed. Here's why Donald Trump shouldn't be president. I was his fan. Now I'm not anymore. And so I think he could be a really good barometer of whether Republicans are willing to ditch Trump and or Trumpism, how well Chris Christie does or how soon he flames out.
Because his own relationship with Donald Trump, but not too similar to Mike Pence, but perhaps even more dramatic, it's gone through all these twists and turns like a soap opera.
It has. I think Chris Christie is one of many Republicans who have tried to step away from Donald Trump and then quickly realized, no, their political future depends on embracing Trump. And now he's going to try to step away again. Just to recap very quickly, he ran for president against Trump in 2016. And then he criticized him heavily, like everyone in the field did. And then he was the head of Trump's transition team when Trump actually won. And then Chris Christie has been an ally. And after January 6th, he has called Trump a coward and said he's unfit for office. And now, of course, he's running to keep him out of office.
And I mean, does that damage his credibility, do you think, Amber, that he has flip-flopped so often on the Trump question and now is the anti-Trump candidate as such?
Right. I think that's a question Chris Christie is going to have to address. He's going to have to say, listen, here's why I decided to give Trump a chance. And here's why I think he no longer deserves a chance. The other Republican, there's only one I can think of in the nation right now, has done that, is Liz Cheney. Of course, the former congresswoman from Wyoming and daughter of Vice President Dick Cheney, who lost her job because she said, listen, I was willing to give Trump a chance to embrace and enact conservative policies. And then I saw he ignited this attack on the Capitol, and he should be nowhere near the presidency anymore. She might run for president, by the way.
Really? Yeah, because I was going to ask you then about other big names that might be expected to declare. So you think she might, but she would also very much be like the anti-Trump candidate.
She would be even more so the anti-Trump candidate. And she has said in coded language that she would only run if she doesn't expect to win, but if she saw a way to keep Trump from office, if she found a way to siphon off Trump votes. I do not know how that math works, because she is, like you said, an anti-Trump candidate and politician. But in terms of other big names, we're getting toward the end of it, unless there are any surprises. There's still a few governors who might run: New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin. These are people who pitch themselves as straddling the line between speaking the populist Trump rhetoric and but also being practical governors who get things done. But I think the biggest names are the ones we're talking about today to be in the race.
I can't remember now, Amber, and I don't want to put you on the spot. It's absolutely fine if you can't remember either. But the last time out when we were discussing who was going to run for the Republican nomination, and Donald Trump was, from my memory, you know, regarded as a complete outsider and like way down the bottom. It sort of came from nowhere. No one believed it was going to happen, and then it happened. And then the sort of the same thing happened with the presidential election. No one believed it was going to happen, and then it happened.
Right.
Is there anyone that you can see, you know, in the bottom, as you say, under 10% at the moment of the other sort of also rans at the moment, who has the ability to do what Donald Trump did?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of Donald Trump's former chiefs of staff, Mick Mulvaney, said he believes there are three people who could beat Donald Trump. One of them is Ron DeSantis, who's in the race. The other one, he said, is this celebrity known as The Rock. Here in America.
Oh, we all know The Rock. Yeah.
Wow. He said that. And then the third he said is Tim Scott. He is a senator from South Carolina. He's the only Black Republican in the Senate, the most prominent Black Republican, period, in America. And he's running for president. And so I've talked to some conservatives to get them to elaborate on that point. Why Tim Scott? Why could he come from a dark horse position? And they tell me it's because he has this real aspirational style of campaigning to talk about how what America did for him, he believes it can do for lots of other people. But he approaches it from a very staunch conservative perspective.
Okay, so selling the dream from a certain perspective. Really interesting to speak to you. No doubt we'll be speaking to you lots more about all of this. But thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Amber Phillips, author of the 5-Minute Fix newsletter with The Washington Post.